Well, good morning, Bethlehem Church. All of you joining us at one of our physical locations. Maybe you're joining us online. Maybe you're at the beach. Maybe you're on your way to the beach. If so, we're all jealous of you. But listen, we're so glad that you are with us. My name is Matt Pylon. I serve as one of the pastors here and grateful to be here with you, kicking off a brand new summer series called Cause and Effect, as you just heard. And here's why I'm excited about this series. Because I think we would all agree that there are times in our lives that we wish we made better decisions, okay? Well, there are times in our lives when we look back and we realize the outcomes of our decisions and we wish we would have made different decisions. And really what this series is all about, it's all about making better decisions so that we can have different outcomes in our lives. And so we're calling it cause and effect because there is a law, whether you realize it or not, that you and I have to answer to every single day of our lives. And it's the law of cause and effect. You can ignore it, but it is true nonetheless. And here's what the law of cause and effect states, that there is a direct correlation or relationship between actions and events. There is a connection between actions and events. In fact, there is a definition for this. It's called causality, okay? And here it is right here. A fancy word that says the relationship between cause and effect. In other words, we can all agree with this. Our actions determine our outcomes. Our actions determine our outcomes. And when we look back in our lives, I think we all would agree with this. For good or for bad, our actions, our decisions, the things that we make daily in our lives have direct outcomes, direct destinations. And so that's what we're going to be talking about. I think we would all agree with that, okay? Again, for good or for bad, we look back and we think, man, I made this decision and it was a really good decision. And it had this outcome and I'm super thankful. Some of you are sitting beside some really good decisions in your life. So just give them a hug right now. Just tell them how much you love them. I'm not going to say some of you are sitting around some bad decisions. That's not what I'm going to say, okay? I would not do that, okay? That is not true. But listen, we all would agree, again, that there's some decisions that we made that are bad decisions. We could all throw our hands up and say, listen, I know there are some decisions that I made that had adverse outcomes in my life that I regret. So this series is all about making better choices, making better decisions. Now, here's what's interesting about the law of cause and effect. We often think we can skirt around and ignore the law of cause and effect. And we can't. Now, sometimes we think that we can make certain decisions that won't have certain outcomes. And it is a law. It is true. Whether you believe it or not, it is a law that is true universally in our lives. And we're going to talk about this because the Bible talks about it. Now, we don't do this with other laws. For example, we don't do this with the law of gravity, do you? Like, nobody is going to try to skirt the law of gravity today, okay? You're not going to go home and think, man, I'm going to climb up to the top of my roof and I'm going to jump off my roof and I'm going to ignore the law of gravity. I'm just going to do a Superman, like right off my roof and just ignore it. We have a word for people that do stuff like that, okay? Crazy, all right? So if you do that, like, guess what's going to happen? You're going to hit the ground every single time. Doesn't matter what you believe about the law, it is true nonetheless. Or to use this example, if I were to step off this stage, okay, and I'm not going to do that, by the way, so for those of you in the front, if I were to step off this stage, guess where I'm going to land? The ground, the floor, right? Every single time. Now, hopefully, I'm prepared for that, and I land on my feet, but let's just imagine that I am not paying attention. I pray this never happens to myself or Pastor Jason. Some of you think it would be funny, but, and I stepped off this stage accidentally. Guess where I was still in? The ground. So it doesn't matter whether I consciously am thinking about it, whether I believe in it. It doesn't matter what I believe about it. It has no barrier on the outcomes, okay? If I step off the stage and I don't know it, I'm not going to have a Wile E. Coyote moment in Roadrunner where I just all of a sudden look around and go, oh, no, I stepped off something and then fall. Like, when you step off, you're going to hit the ground. It is a law. It is true every single time. And such is the law of cause and effect. There are decisions that we made in our past that result in where we are today. And let me say this. there are decisions you are making today that will have an impact on where you land tomorrow. So let me give you a very practical statement that we're going to come back to over the next 3 weeks. Here it is right here. The decisions in your life will result in the destination of your life. The decisions in your life will result in the destination of your life every single time. Your decisions determine your destination. Now again, it's always fascinating to me, and we could all raise our hand. Again, we're drawing a circle around every single person listening, okay? That we're shocked when we land at certain outcomes. That we land on certain destinations. Like, how did I get here? How did this happen? I've been a full-time pastor for 25 years. In fact, I'm going to my 26th year here in the next couple months. 26 years. And here's what's interesting to me. People will sit down and say, Pastor Matt, I do not know how I got to where I am. I have no idea. And the simple but, you know, less sympathetic answer to that question is decisions. You made a decision and you didn't think about the destination. You didn't think about the outcome. Or maybe you thought your decision could be made in isolation and it would not affect your outcome. Or let me push a little bit more because I'm going to get into this in the next few minutes. Or the outcome of others. You and I are making decisions that determine our destinations. Our decisions and our choices always come back around. They always come back around. They're kind of like a boomerang. Anybody in here ever got a boomerang to work? How many of you, anybody in here, okay, some of you are like, I've tried it. Anybody got it to work before? Like a couple of you from Australia in here, okay? So, like, you're like one of the few people that ever get boomerangs to work. I used to have a boomerang. It was a Nerf boomerang. In Nerf, you know, they made boomerangs so that you wouldn't kill yourself, right? So, like, when they came around, they wouldn't knock your head off or whatever. But I never could get it to work. But I think we know the idea behind a boomerang. When you throw it out, the idea is that it comes back to you. Well, I would submit to you that we are throwing boomerangs out in our lives all the time, every single day. We're doing it in our marriages. We're doing it in our self-disciplines. We're doing it on our thoughts, our decisions. All of these boomerangs we are throwing out, and they will all come back around to us. And the boomerangs we threw out in the past are the ones that are coming back at us today. It's the law of cause and effect. In fact, the Bible has a term for this. In Galatians, the Apostle Paul talks about it. Many of you have heard this passage before. In fact, we spent some time with it. But it says this: do not be deceived. The Apostle Paul writes in the book of Galatians, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Okay? In other words, saying, pay attention to this. This is an unbreakable law, what I'm about to say. You can try to ignore it, but do not be deceived. It will not be mocked because he put this into place. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. And so we see action sows and outcomes, cause and effect. What we sow, we reap. Do not be deceived. You cannot be deceived. This is an unbreakable law that God put into place. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It has no barrier on the outcome. It is true nonetheless. So over the next few weeks, here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at three different passages from the book of Proverbs. And these are going to be kind of launching points that are cause and effect scriptures. And the book of Proverbs, one that I've read probably more than any other book, is probably the most practical and helpful book in the Bible. Because it was mostly written by a man by the name of Solomon, who was a king. And King Solomon wrote what we call Proverbs. They're individual Proverbs based on life events. And what Solomon is saying is saying, hey, I've done it all, I've seen it all, and I'm going to give you some Proverbs, some helpful cause and effect scriptures that will be helpful to help you make better decisions in your life. And with every single one of these Proverbs that he's given, see, there is a promise and there is a warning. And the one we're going to look at today, there is a promise and there is a warning. Now, what's interesting about Solomon is that Solomon was considered the wisest man of his lifetime. Now, he didn't wake up one day and he was just the wisest man. God actually approached him in the middle of the night. And it was the beginning of his kingship, and he asked him a question that every single one of us wish God would ask us, okay? And here it is. What shall I give you? Now, I want you to imagine for a second, God comes to you and says, hey, what do you want? All right? And your first answer is lower gas prices, right? Like, first thing comes out of your mouth. Like, I mean, just a dollar less, God, that would be awesome, a gallon. Like, lower gas prices. No, it probably would be, I mean, listen, every single one of us, God came to you and said, hey, what do you want? I would venture to say, just throw a percentage, the vast majority of us, our answer to that question would revolve around us, revolve around me. Like, I think of a few things that God, like, I would want. But here's what Solomon says. Here's what he says here. He says, give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this great people? Who is able to govern this great people? In other words, what Solomon asked for is discernment or wisdom to make wise choices, to make good decisions. Now, I want to give you a definition for wisdom, and we're going to come back to this, okay? And this is my definition, but I think it'll be helpful for us. Here it is, right here. Wisdom is seeing the destination behind the decision. Seeing the destination behind the decision. So what that means is, it's the realization that decisions aren't made emotionally. They're not made in isolation. Wisdom is seeing the decision out in front of you and realizing the destination of that decision. That's what wisdom is. It's not about IQ. It's not about intelligence. It's not about any book smarts, okay? Or gray hair, or any of that. It is literally about looking at the decision and realizing what the destination of that decision will be. That's wisdom. Now, research says that we make about 60,000 decisions in any given day. That's crazy. There are about 35,000 remotely conscious decisions that we make. Now, some of these are big, and some of these are small decisions, okay? There are decisions like what we're going to eat, or drink, or what we're going to wear, or, you know, am I going to wear these jeans or those jeans? Just little decisions in our life. Some of them are bigger. It's people that we're going to hang around with, be influenced by. People we're going to allow our kids to be around. Things that we're going to say, things that we're not going to say. React, not react. And some of these decisions are really small incremental decisions, but there are some decisions that carry weight. And I think we all know that there are decisions in our lives every single day that carry weight. And what Proverbs is a culmination of experience, both good and bad. Again, we're going to look at this over the next couple of weeks. Good and bad, in which a man by the name of Solomon says, listen, I've done it all, I've seen it all. I've learned good and bad. I'm going to give you some helpful Proverbs that offers both wisdom and warning for all of us. And so today I want to begin by giving you one that I learned really, really early as a student pastor. For 12 years I was a student pastor, and it's one that I learned very early on. In fact, it goes all the way back to my years as being a teenager that I learned this passage. And it's a passage that I have imparted to my children, and my children know this. They have it memorized. In fact, the passage I'm about to give you, some of you parents, you know this passage. But here's what I would submit to you. It doesn't apply just to our kids. It applies to us as well. So if you've got your Bibles, we're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. Proverbs 13, verse 20. And I'm going to give it to you right here. Very simple statement. Here's what Solomon says. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Let me say that again. Whoever walks with the wise becomes what? Wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Now, it's a very simple statement, Proverbs 13:20, that Solomon gives us. And when we think about this, we immediately think about our children. But it applies to us as well. And so I want to give you three things about this passage, just really quickly. Three things that are true. I'm going to give you one that's a universal truth about this passage, and then I'm going to give you a promise, and I'm going to give you a warning that he talks about here. But let me give you the universal principle of this passage that's so important to us. And here it is right here. Write it down. You are shaped by your associations. I am shaped by my associations. You are shaped by your associations. The people that we spend time with, the people that we give access to our lives, we are shaped by their influence. We're shaped by their behavior. We're shaped by their opinions. So much so that, listen, I guarantee you this. If you show me your friends, I will show you your future. If you show me your associations and the people that you spend time with, I will show you your future. In fact, there's a famous quote. Now, we don't know who specifically said this the first time, but you probably have heard some version of it. Show me your friends, and I will show you your future. If you show me your friends, I will show you your future. Listen, it's a very, very old code. It's been used many times. But the reality is the sum of our relationships, the sum of our associations determine our future. You are the sum average, if you would, of your associations. The people you've given access to your life. Your five closest, if you would, friends. The people you are around all the time. They are influencing you. Now, the older I get, listen, we tend to think, again, teenagers, children. And we're going to get to that. But the older I get, listen, 12 years of being a student pastor, here's what I will tell you this. I think this is true. The things that we struggle with as teenagers are the same things we struggle with as adults. The underlying issues are the same. When you walked into the lunchroom when you were in high school or middle school and you were hoping that somebody would accept you, that you would they would accept you into their friend group, that you would sit down with them and they would say, you belong here. It's the same thing that we experience as adults. And it doesn't matter how tough or how macho you are. Listen, we all desire to be accepted. We are all seeking acceptance. But let me give you a warning light right here. This is huge for us. Out of all the things that we say, this may be the most important. Here it is right here. Here's the warning light. Acceptance, though, leads to influence. Acceptance leads to influence. This is important. Why? Because the things that make friendships so important and great are the same things that make them so dangerous. The same things that make friendships so important are the same things that make them so dangerous. You and I, listen, are repelled by rejection, and we are attracted to acceptance. We are repelled by rejection, and we are attracted to acceptance. In other words, when we are around people that we feel like might reject us, you know what we do? We throw our guard up. We throw our guard up. Why do we do this? Because we don't want to get hurt, right? We don't want anybody to hurt us, so we throw our guard up. But when we are around people who accept us, what do? We drop our guard. And when you and I drop our guard, we are the most prone to influence than we ever are. The people who accept us, the people that when we're around, we drop our guard, have the most influence on our lives. That's why Solomon is saying, listen, it matters who your friends are. It matters who you associate yourself with. Now, many of you know this, but we have four children. And our oldest, Amelia, actually just finished the sixth grade. Okay, so middle school years, all right? Middle school years, man, what fun times, right? So, but I was a middle school pastor. My first ever position as a pastor was a middle school pastor. And I actually love middle schoolers because middle schoolers still think you're cool. When you get in high school, they look at you like you're an idiot. But like middle school, they still think you're, you know, a hero to them. And so, you know, our daughter is going into middle school. And man, we've heard the horror stories. I've seen the horror stories. And so she's going in sixth grade, but she did awesome. I mean, she did incredible. I mean, we're so proud of her. Now, I realize she's got two more years, so we'll see how it goes, okay? But here's the thing. When she was going into middle school, you know what we made sure that she had good friends. In fact, student ministry hosts a thing called midweek. Many of your teenagers probably are part of this. If they're not, they should be a part of this. And midweek happens on Wednesday nights, and my family attends the Oconee campus, okay? And so that is their home. That is where my daughter's friends are. And so they attend on Wednesday nights. She attends the midweek at Oconee. Pastor Nathan's there. And listen, what I love about this is that we actually have a carpool with about five other families, okay? So we get the minivan, and we pick up, like, literally, we go out and pick up, like, five stops and pick up all these middle schoolers and take them to midweek and then bring them home. Now, by we, I mean my wife, okay? So I'm acting like I'm the hero here. So I'm not. Occasionally, I have the guts to do it, but it's very rare, all right? But there are other moms. In fact, you're watching this. Some of you are at Coney campus. You drive as well, the carpool. And I love this because here's what we want. We want our daughter to have friends who are running in the same direction that she is. And that's what Solomon is saying here. Listen, you need people in your life that are running in the direction that you want to run in. Now, some of you, listen, you're running in directions that are leading to adverse outcomes in your life. And so what you would say is, I need to run in a different direction. So you need to find people who are running in the direction of the outcome or the destination that you want to land at, and you need to run with them. Those are the people you need to be around, biblical friendships. And if you don't have biblical friendships, listen, it's important that you do. Here's what I would say. Pray for them. Listen, pray for biblical friendships. Make sure that you surround yourself, maybe in a small group, with people who love Jesus, who are running in the same direction that you are. Because when you're around negative people, guess what tends to happen? The influence of negativity. You become what? Negative. When you're around people who are positive, the influence of positive people in your life, you tend to be more positive. Influence matters. Influence matters because we are opening ourselves up to people who accept us. And so it's a general rule, but let me give you two real quick specific things that Solomon gives us. And here's the first right here. He gives us a promise. Okay, we just read it, but let's read it again. Here it is. Whoever walks with the wise becomes what? Wise. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. That is a cause and effect relationship. If you walk with wise people, you will become wise. If you walk with wise people, you will become wise. Again, what is wisdom? It's not, again, not gray hair. It's not IQ or education. It's understanding that all things are connected, that decisions aren't not made in isolation, that you and I, listen, we don't have any isolated thought patterns. That's what wisdom means. There are no isolated relationships. There are no isolated eating habits. There are no isolated exercise habits, right? Unfortunately, right? Or lack of habit. All things are connected. And listen, the people that you are doing life with today, the decisions you are making have an impact on tomorrow. And people who are wise understand this. They understand that when they're faced with a decision, that on the other side of that decision is a destination. And wise people, you know what they do? They pause. They pause. They don't make emotional, irrational decisions. Wise people think about the destination of that decision. They know that decision is not made in isolation. And what Solomon is saying is here, you need to run with people that do that. You need to run with people who are wise. And when you do that, when you walk with wise people, you will become wise. Now, Jesus understood this, actually. Jesus, creator of the universe, understood that relationships matter. And when I was studying for this, I was drawn to a passage in Luke chapter 6, verse 12, and I'm going to give it to you. I think it's so, so good. It was actually right before Jesus' earthly ministry, but here's what it says. It says, in these days, he being Jesus, went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued to pray to God. Now, how many of you have ever prayed all night? Anybody in here ever prayed all night before? About three occasions I have, okay? A few of you watching, maybe online, maybe at 211 at Coney. I've prayed all night on about three occasions. Now, some of you are like, I don't even know, like, what do you pray for all night? Like, it's a long night. So, but I prayed all night. Listen, here's what I want you to see. Jesus is praying all night long. What is he praying for? Watch this. This is so good. And when day came, in other words, the sun came up, he called his disciples and chose from them 12 whom he named apostles. So Jesus prayed all night that God would give him discernment in choosing his friends, his disciples. Now, we tend to think that Jesus was all about the strategy and all 12 people fit a strategy. But here's the reality. These were friends. These were people that he would do life with 24/7 for 3 years, day and night. He would sleep beside. He would eat with. He would laugh with. He would cry with. Jesus prayed for his friends that God would give him the choice to make wise choices when it came to friends. Listen, it makes sense that you and I do the same. It makes sense that we actually pray for our friends. Because I think friendship and biblical friendship is something that is fleeting right now. In fact, we know this. We live in a day and age that is more connected yet disconnected than ever before. And can I give you a picture of what most of our friendships look like? Here's what it is. Right? Thumb to thumb. Now, some of you are old, like you're like, no, I use like one finger. You know, your kids make fun of you, right? So you're like, I can't do that. Dad, it's two thumbs, right? It's not that hard. But that's what a lot of our relationships look like. And listen, there's nothing wrong with quick text or quick connect. But listen, I think we need more face-to-face relationships rather than thumb-to-thumb relationships. I think we need more people that we sit down with, look them in the eye and say, how are you doing? And they look us in the eye and say, how are you doing? That's what biblical friendship looks like. And research has actually shown us that over the last 25 years, the average person has only two close friends. That's dropped drastically. Two close friends. And one in four people say that they don't have any close friends. We're losing something in the area of relationships. It matters that you pray for biblical friendships. Let me give you a third truth real quick, and we'll kind of wrap this up. Here's the third thing that Solomon gives us. He gives us a promise, but he also gives us a warning. So what is that warning? Here it is right now. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. Now, I know nobody in here is a fool, okay? Nobody watching 211 Oconee, like nobody, like we're not the fools, okay? Like we've never been the fools, right? But he's just talking about a companion of fools. Here's the reality. The reality is that we all know fools and we have all been the fool before. We've all been the fool before. What is a fool? Let me give you a definition for a fool. Here it is. A person who knows what is right, but simply does not care. That's a fool. A person who knows what's right, but simply does not care. In other words, it's the opposite of wisdom and wise people. They know everything's connected. They just could care less. They don't think or care that their decision has certain outcomes. And here's the scary version. They don't think or care that their decision may have outcomes and destination in other people's lives as well. That's what a fool does. And listen, not pointing fingers, we have all been there before. But they think that decisions are made in a vacuum, that they're isolated. And what Solomon is saying here is no. Those who walk with the wise will become wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. Now, what's interesting is you would think what Solomon is saying here is that if you walk with the wise, you will become wise. And if you walk with fools, you will become a fool. But that's not what he says here. He says a companion of fools will suffer harm. So here's the warning right here. This is big. You don't have to be the fool to suffer harm. You just have to be a companion of fools. You don't have to be the fool to suffer harm. You just have to be a companion of fools. And what Solomon is warning us is big. He's saying, listen, you don't have to be the fool. You don't have to adopt all their beliefs or their behavior. But if you are in close proximity when they blow their lives up, you will be hit by the shrapnel. It will affect you. And let me press a little more. He doesn't say this, but the companion of fools might suffer harm. He doesn't say that. He says there's a cause and effect relationship. He says, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. It's not if, it's when. If you are a companion of fools, listen, you will suffer harm. And listen, again, being a student pastor for 12 years, let me say this to you teenagers. Listen up. Laser focused right at me for a second. You don't have to be the one drinking. You just have to be in the car of the one who has. That's a companion of fools. Adults, listen, those of you who have been married, you know, for just a few months or a couple years, and you're looking for other relationships, other couples to spend and do life with, listen, do not choose fools. Walk with the wise. Your relationship in your marriage will suffer harm if you do. It matters who you do life with. So I want to leave you with something, just highly practical. In fact, I wish we had time to dive into this a little deeper, but we don't. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a little homework, okay? But I'm going to set you up. What does biblical friendship look like? Because, Lynn, again, our associations matter. Walk closely with fools, and eventually you will be harmed by their behavior. Despite whether you ever adopt their beliefs, you will still be harmed. So, as we close, I want to give you three quick things that Proverbs actually gives us about biblical friendships, wise friendships. I'm going to give you these three things. I want you to just jot these down, and then you can come back to them this week. Here's the first. Biblical friendships, wise friendships, walks with us through the most difficult times. Walks with us through the most difficult times. So in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, here's what Solomon says. He says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. So what a wise biblical friend does is they hold our hands through the difficult times. They drop everything in order to help you, to walk with you, to give you good advice, to be there with you. That's what wise friends do. They walk with us through difficult times. Let me give you a second one that Proverbs gives us. They expose sin in our lives. Exposes sin in our lives. Proverbs 27:6 says this. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. So what do wise friends do? They expose sin in our lives. In other words, they're a mirror for us. They're accountability in our lives. They're seeing the direction of our lives, and they're going, hey, I need you to pay attention to something. You're making decisions that are going to have this destination in your life. And what you need to do is you need to repent and turn. I love you, so I'm going to call this out in you. And some of you are like, listen, but I don't want to do anything to damage the friendship. And here's what I would submit to you. Be more committed to the friend than the friendship. That's what biblical friends do, expose sin in our lives. And here's the third one. Gives wise and biblical advice. Proverbs 27:9, here's what it says. The heartfelt counsel of a friend is as sweet as perfume and incense. So biblical friends gives us wise and biblical advice. Now here's what's always struck me. It's always struck me that people often, when they get to an outcome that they don't want to be at, or they start struggling in life, they actually go to fools for counsel. Isn't that interesting? They go to fools for counsel. Now, you would think they would go to wise people who have actually walked the right road, but oftentimes they go to fools. I've never told this story before, but In my mid-20s, I had a really, really bad sports injury. I was actually playing one of the most dangerous sports that you can possibly play, men's softball, okay? So, very dangerous sport, because the problem with men's softball is you still think that you're young and you're, you know, you're writing checks your body can't cash, you know what I mean? So, and I was playing shortstop, and there was a ball hit over the third baseman's head, and long story, it was the final out, final inning, and final game of the year. We were in the championship, and I ran to dive and make this play to end the game. Now, what I didn't know is the left fielder was running straight in. Now, I've been told all this because I don't remember any of it, but his head collided with the right side of my face in my right orbital area and literally crushed in the right side of my face. So, right side of my face has seven titanium plates and 36 or 37 screws in it, okay? It's been rebuilt. So I used to be way prettier than I am now. So when I went, I didn't say this at the first service, but here's what I'd say. When I went to actually get it fixed, I asked if I could look like Brad Pitt, and the surgeon says we can't do miracles. So, but what's funny is, it was actually a really serious injury. I mean, I was in danger of losing my sight in my right eye. And so we were having to go to doctors and interview them about if they could do this surgery properly so that I wouldn't lose my sight. And I'll never forget one surgeon. He was actually in Virginia Beach, and we're talking to him over the phone, my mom and I. And I asked him, I said, have you ever performed this surgery before? And he said, I'll never forget this. He said, I haven't. I would like to, but I've never done it before. And I said, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I hope you get to do it someday. You're just not going to do it on me. And so finally we found a wise doctor. And here's what he said. I've done this surgery many, many times. I can fix your issue and you will maintain your sight. And I'm like, you're my man. You're my man. Here's the thing. It's interesting to me that we go to fools and not wise people when we're struggling in life. Go to people who have walked the path before and had success. So let me close our time together. I know what you're probably thinking, because it's actually one of the thoughts that I have when, you know, I was preparing this message. Like, what do you do when you have friends that you've had for years, and you hunt with these friends, and you play tennis with these friends? I mean, these are your close, close friends, but you wouldn't consider them biblical friends. Like, are you saying we just need to walk away from those friendships? Now listen, I'm not saying that. Okay, some of them you may need to. And I think one of the litmus tests for us in relationships like that is, you know, if we go, you know, when I walk with those people, when I do life with these people, I think differently. I speak differently. Maybe even you would say, when I'm with those people, I'm a different person. That may be a warning light that those are probably people we shouldn't associate and walk with closely. But I know what comes to mind, because so many of us, listen, we love people and we love our old friends. We love our friends now, but we don't want to walk away from those friendships. We don't want to be those people. We want to offer compassion. And you say, shouldn't we offer compassion? Isn't that what Jesus did? And the answer to that is yes, you absolutely 100% should. That's exactly what Jesus did. But here's what I will leave you with. Do not divorce compassion from wisdom. You can be compassionately wise. And what that means is there may be some situations and people that when they look at you, the way you respond is different than the way they respond. And so when they look at you, they're like, oh, that she always has a verse for this situation. Or he always says he's going to pray for me. Or he always attends church. Or he listens to these songs and worship songs. I don't even know what that means. But they're different. And listen, you may not get invited to all the parties. You may not get invited to all the events. Maybe none of them. But you know what you won't be? You won't be in proximity when they blow their life up that you're harmed. And then what? Watch this. I've seen this over and over. You know what will happen? When somebody blows their life up, you know what they'll do? They'll text you. You know what they'll say? Hey, can we meet? I just need to talk. And then you have the opportunity to be compassionately wise and speak into their lives. You see, you can be compassionate and walk with wisdom. Solomon says those who walk with the wise will become wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. We want to pray for you just across all of our campuses. At Oconee, at 211, campus pastors are going to come forward and pray for you now. If you're joining us online, if you're here, would you just bow your heads and pray with me? And so, Heavenly Father, God, what we pray for, God, what we so desire is that, Lord, we land at destinations that we want to be at. And God, I think for many of us in here, we would say, listen, I know, like, the decisions I'm making currently, I'm throwing some boomerangs out, and I know they're going to come back around in my marriage, in my relationships. And so, God, maybe right now we would just claim that, God, we're going to make different decisions in our lives. We're going to make biblical decisions. And we're going to read the book of Proverbs daily. We're going to walk in wisdom and adhere to the warnings. And God, for those who don't have biblical friendships, God, I pray that you would give them to them. God, you would bring people in their lives, Lord, that would speak wisdom and help them in the road that they want to be on. So God, we love you and we thank you. God, we love you that a friend is closer than a brother. God, I thank you for befriending us when we didn't deserve it. Jesus, you loved us. You were a friend to sinners, and we are the sinner. So Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Would you stand?